Well, have you ever been carrying a heavy load, you know, something really heavy for so long, you felt like you were going to collapse? You know, maybe you've been out shopping, you know, and you're coming home, you've got massive bags full of shopping, you know, your fingers feel like they're going to fall off. Or maybe you've been doing some DIY at home or in the garden, and you're carrying some, you know, really heavy load. Maybe some of you younger ones, you've been out on a school trip, you know, you're to some boring museum or something for hours, you know, and your backpack on your back, it's a dead weight, and it's weighing you down. Well, when my children were little, my wife and I, we took our two children and we went on a hike in the countryside in Wales. And it wasn't very long before my youngest daughter, Abigail, grew weary. I think it was in the first 100 metres or so. She was weary and I had to pick her up and carry her on my back in one of these special backpacks. And we went a little bit further and it was a little bit later that my son, who was a bit older, he grew weary and he needed picking up. And I picked him up and I carried him on my shoulders. So I had Abigail on my back and Elijah on my shoulders. And it wasn't long before they both fell asleep. Now, I know when we fall asleep, our weight doesn't increase. But I can tell you, as I was walking along with my children, slouching on top of me, it felt like they were getting heavier and heavier. And to make matters worse, we were in a rush. We had to get to a train station to catch a train. And we had to get there without missing the train. And it was windy and pouring with rain. And I had to grit my teeth and march along with my children on my back. Well, imagine my relief when we got to the train on time. And I was able to unload my sleepy children and sit down to rest. It was a welcome relief. It was rest for the weary. Well, if we had to choose a word to sum up how we're feeling these days, I think many of us would choose the word weary. The fears and frustrations of this pandemic have left a lot of us feeling worn out at times. Now more than ever, we need to hear the gospel. We need to take in the good news again about who Jesus is and why he's come. He's come to give rest to the weary. We celebrate that God has come to us in Christ. He is Emmanuel, God with us. He's come to save us from our sins and to give us rest for our souls. This is our theme this morning, rest for the weary. And we're going to be focusing on that Bible passage we had read for us from Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30. Let me just read those verses again. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. The context of these verses in Matthew 11, in Matthew's Gospel, if you're familiar with it, chapters 5 to 10 record some of Jesus's teaching and miracles. And then from chapter 11 to chapter 16, Matthew describes for us some of the different ways that people responded to Jesus. Some people were disappointed in him. Others actively opposed him. He was not the Messiah that many people were hoping for. So at the start of chapter 11, even John the Baptist is having his doubts and needs reassurance. In verses 20 to 24, Jesus condemns the cities that have seen most of his miracles and yet hardened their hearts in unbelief. Then in verses 25 to 27, he explains that God has hidden the truth of who he is from those who think they are wise and learned, but he is revealing the truth to little children. The contrast here is not so much of intelligence or age, but attitude. He's contrasting those who are who are proud and self-righteous and think they know it all. He's contrasting those kinds of people with those who are humble and teachable, like children. So the proud and self-righteous, they're turning away from Jesus, but the humble and needy, they're turning to him. And that is the context of Jesus' wonderful invitation here in Matthew 11, verse 28. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. I want to bring out just three simple lessons from this passage for us. Three simple lessons. The first lesson is that we are all invited to come to Jesus. We're all invited to come to Jesus. Back at Christmas, we were celebrating, weren't we, the coming of Christ, the incarnation. That we celebrate, don't we? But why do we celebrate the coming of Christ? That in itself is not good news when you think about it. Because Jesus is God in the flesh, the holy creator of the universe, and we are his fallen creation. By nature, we are enemies of God. We're living in rebellion against him and heading for his judgment. So in itself, the coming of Christ into our world is not something to celebrate, but to fear. But we do celebrate his coming, don't we? Why? Because we know he came into the world not to condemn us, but to save us. He came to us so that we could come to him. Let's appreciate how wonderful that is this morning. God invites us, fallen, sinful people, to come to him. I don't know if you've come across the novel East of Eden. It was written by an American author called John Steinbeck, and it was made into a movie with James Dean, East of Eden. Well, that title alludes to the judgment of God that we read about in Genesis chapter 4, when Cain is banished from God's presence and sent to live east of Eden. Eden was the garden paradise where Adam and Eve enjoyed the presence of God. But ever since their fall into sin, the human race has been separated from God. In those early chapters of Genesis, God effectively says to our ancestors, "Depart from me." Being separated from God is the essence of his judgment. Being far from God, alienated from him, strangers to him, that is the worst possible place to be. And if the Bible story ended there, then we would be without hope in this world. But praise God, that isn't the end of the story, is it? No, God found a way to come and rescue us. He didn't leave us banished from his presence. He came to save us, and to save us in such a way that he punished sin and yet made a way to be reconciled with him, for our relationship to be restored. And that is the overarching story of the Bible, that story of salvation. And we get glimpses into this salvation that God comes to offer to us when he invites us to come to him. So, for example, one of the key passages is in Isaiah chapter 55. You may be familiar with it. Isaiah 55, God says to us, "Come, all who are thirsty, come to the waters. Come to me that you may live. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways. Let them turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on them." You see, Jesus' invitation here to come to him, it echoes that promise in Isaiah. Jesus is God in the flesh, calling us to come to him. He's not simply calling us to come to a set of beliefs or simply to come to church. He's calling us to come to him. So let's not ignore or reject his invitation. Let us accept it with joy and gratitude. You see, a day is coming when the Lord Jesus Christ will return. And that time when he comes, that day will be too late to accept his invitation. So if you've never ever come to Christ, come to him for salvation, then come to him. I urge you, come to him today. You can pray to him right now, wherever you are. Pray to him from your heart. You can pray, Lord Jesus, I want to know your forgiveness. I want my relationship with you to be restored. Please forgive me. And if you have come to Jesus in the past, if you've come to him and received that salvation, then hear his voice calling to you yet again. Come to me. We need to keep coming to him every day as his people. We're like sheep, aren't we? We easily go astray. And we need to hear the voice of our good shepherd calling us. Come to me. Draw near to me. Walk closely with me. So that's the first lesson in this passage. We're all invited to come to Jesus. But the second lesson is that if we come to Jesus, we will find rest for our souls. Jesus doesn't invite those who are self-satisfied, does he? No, he invites those who are weary. And the context here is not so much about being physically weary and needing physical rest. It's ultimately about being spiritually weary, needing spiritual rest. He says, come to him and we will find rest for our soul. Now, at the time, many people were weary and burdened by the religion of the Pharisees. Their view of how we can be accepted by God was a crushing burden that was impossible to carry. They taught that people had to effectively earn God's acceptance by their righteousness and their good deeds. So to those who were humble and conscious of their sin, it offered no comfort, only guilt and condemnation. And that's why Jesus rebuked the Pharisees in Matthew 23. He said this about them. He said they tie up heavy, cumbersome loads and they put them on other people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them. Well, Jesus invites all who are weary and weighed down with guilt, to come to him, to find rest for their soul. He's not asking for anything from us. He's offering to give us rest for our souls. Again, his words echo the prophets in the Old Testament. So we find in Jeremiah chapter 6, these words, this is what the Lord says, stand at the crossroads and look, ask for the ancient paths, ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. And then again in Jeremiah chapter 31, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says, when I bring them back from captivity, I will refresh the weary. These prophecies, they point forward to that rest that God was going to provide for his people in Christ. Rest for our souls. It's good news this morning. We don't have to try and earn our way into God's good books. He offers us the free forgiveness of all of our sins through the sacrifice of Christ on the cross. Does that mean that we can accept his rest and his forgiveness and then live as we please? Of course not. That would be to abuse his kindness. Now, Jesus qualifies this rest for us, doesn't he? Did you notice he says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Coming to Jesus and finding rest for our souls does not mean that we are then free to live as we please. Jesus takes away the crushing burden of legalistic religion, of trying to earn God's acceptance through our good works. He takes that burden away. But those of us who know his forgiveness, his free, unmerited forgiveness for all our sins, those of us who know that, we are called to live new lives, to live lives of obedience to Christ, obeying him not out of fear or guilt, but out of love and gratitude for the forgiveness that we already have. And the wonderful thing is, Jesus doesn't just call us to find rest and to follow him. He promises to give us his Spirit to equip us and to enable us. So Jesus does talk about taking his yoke upon us. We don't use that word yoke very often, do we, today? But a yoke was simply the name of the wooden frame that joins cattle together to help them, you know, pull a cart and to go in the set direction. And Jesus uses this metaphor, this image of a yoke to describe the discipleship of being a Christian. Following Jesus calls for radical discipleship. You only have to read the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5-7 to see how radical it is, following Jesus. But that yoke of following Jesus, of obeying Jesus, compared to the crushing burden of legalistic religion, compared to that, following him is an easy yoke, a light yoke. It's not a wearisome burden, but a joyful delight to follow him. Are you tired this morning? Tired of trying to earn God's favor and acceptance through your good works? Are you weary of trying to win the approval of others by your good deeds? Then come to Jesus and find rest. Rest for your souls in that free forgiveness that he offers to us. He has done everything that we need to have the assurance of God's love and acceptance. And he's promised to always be with us, to guide us by his word and equip us by his Spirit to live a new life, a holy life, not motivated by guilt or pride, but by love for him. There's a third and final lesson in this passage. And that's Jesus encourages us to come to him, not only because of what he gives to us, rest, but also because of who he is. He says, "Come to me because I am gentle and humble in heart." Let's not forget this morning that this invitation from Jesus, it is a personal invitation. Jesus says, "Come to me." So it's all the more reason to be clear about who he is. Who is it that we are coming to? Well, once again, Jesus is echoing and fulfilling the Old Testament prophecies about the Messiah. You may be familiar with Isaiah chapter 42, where the prophet writes about the coming of the Messiah. And he uses these words to describe him, this suffering servant. "Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. Now listen to this. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. It's a beautiful picture language of the gentleness, the lowliness of Christ. That prophecy is fulfilled in Jesus. We see his gentleness and lowliness, don't we, in the Gospels. Time and again, the Lord Jesus shows that he is slow to anger and quick to show grace and forgiveness. Just think about his relationship with his closest disciples. They all deserted him in his hour of most need. And yet after his resurrection, when he comes to them, how did he respond to them? With a word of judgment? No. That's what they deserved. But he came speaking words of forgiveness. Peace be with you. Jesus' gentleness and lowliness, it's not weakness, but strength under control. He is strong, but kind. He is the ultimate gentle giant. He is the eternal creator, the ruler of the universe, almighty in power, glorious in holiness. But he is also the one who left his throne in heaven to come and save sinners. He humbled himself. He humbled himself to suffering, even to suffer death on a cross for our sins, so that we could be made right with God. He is a wonderful Saviour. He wants us to come to him being assured of who he is, a gracious, humble, lowly Saviour. There's a parallel passage in John chapter 6 where Jesus is reassuring us that whoever comes to him will never be rejected. John chapter 6, he says, Jesus declares, I'm the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. All those the Father gives me will come to me. And whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. That is good news. That is a wonderful promise. Whoever comes to him, he will never drive away. The original language there in John, it uses an emphatic negative. The closest that we can get to it in English is to say, I will not drive away. I will never, ever drive away. Like the hymn writer says, to the one who takes refuge in him, I'll never, no, never, no, never forsake. He is gentle and humble in heart. So, let us draw near to him today and every day and find rest for our souls. Amen.